Started yet.
Okay. Okay, everyone's good? Sounds good. Hello, everyone. My name is Shannon Hyde. I am the host of the Shannon Show podcast. And today we have a very exciting special podcast episode for everyone. It's essentially Dodea's 75th birthday party, I would like to say. And I'm co-hosting with Dr. Circe Olson-Wessner.
Well, and I'm Dr. Wessner. This is Circe. I'm the director of the Museum of the American Military Family in Teheris. And Shannon and I are so pleased to co-host this podcast. It is the 75th anniversary of Dodea. And we've got an exceptionally interesting group today. And we're going to talk a little bit about our Schooling with Uncle Sam book.
So. We have a great show planned for everyone. Exactly. We're joined first and foremost by director of Dodea, Mr. Brady here today, which is very exciting. Welcome to the show, as well as Mr. Franco Guerra, former communications chief of Dodea, and Dr. Alan Olson, sorry about that, who edited the anthology as well. We also have some current and former students and teachers who are joining the episode here today. So I'm really excited just to get to everyone and hear some great memories about Dodea.
Welcome, you guys. So October 14th marks the 75th anniversary of Dodea, and we'd like Mr. Brady to tell us how Dodea is celebrating this milestone.
Well, thank you very much, Circe, and it's a pleasure to be here, and I thank you for the invitation. We have been so excited about our 75th anniversary to commemorate the men and women who did the troop ships over to Germany, Austria, and the Pacific back in 1946. We've been featuring a number of videos on our website, our stories. We've been sharing with the teachers, and in each one of the schools, we have we'll cover lessons to remind today's students about the great sacrifices and the great accomplishments that that began with this our organization 75 years ago.
It sounds cool. Lots of stuff going on.
Yes.
That sounds fantastic. I think this is now a great opportunity to share some stories from Dodea from some of our former students here. It doesn't really matter which order we go in. I'm not sure if Mr. Art Harris would like to go first, share a story about his time in Dodea.
Yes, I would. Hey, hello, everybody. I'm Arthur Harris. I am a recently retired Air Force, and I am a former Air Force military brat. Most of the schools I've been to, all the elementary schools are countless. I really can't remember them that much. But going to Europe, I was in Belgium in eighth grade and high school the first 3 months of my ninth grade year at SHAPE headquarters. And then the rest of my high school year, I was in England. And I also did a little bit of college in Germany. University of Maryland, Augsburg campus. So that experience it has taught me to appreciate all cultures around. I love meeting new people, seeing how they tick, why they do what they do. I remember the different foods, all the different classes that I took. I just appreciate everything that I had experienced in my years. And, that's pretty much most I can add so far. Any questions?
That's fantastic. I think that's something that every Dodea student can take away from their experiences. That's just, I mean, it's a great summary, and that's really cool stuff. Ms. Ernst, I'm not sure if you would like to share next.
I would. Yes, my name is Carol. And I was an Army brat. And in 1947, I was 5.5 years old, and we moved to Osaka, Japan. In first grade, I was attending Osaka American School, and I rode the train to school with an MP escort. In second grade, I rode in our Jeep with my mom, who was the school nurse. We lived on the economy, and all our neighbors were Japanese, so I learned to speak Japanese. Our school had grades 1 through 12, and my favorite teacher was the art teacher, which we had art once a month. In 1954, I was in seventh grade, and my father was transferred to Salzburg, Austria. They said our school had once been Hitler's stables. My teachers were Tom Gallagher for seventh grade and Robert Patillo for eighth grade. Our eighth grade class had ballroom dancing lessons in a beautiful building that looked like a small palace and was near the school. There was a very ornate ballroom in the palace, and we held our eighth grade graduation dance there. By April of that year, my father was transferred to Vienna. There was no eighth grade class there, however, so I stayed in Salzburg and lived with my best friend, Judy Rice, and her family until the end of the school year. In the summer after eighth grade, which was 1955, Austria became independent and all the occupying forces had to leave. My dad was reassigned to Bad Kreuznach, Germany. Bad Kreuznach didn't have enough high school students to support a high school, so we all became five-day dorm students at Kaiserslautern High School. On Sunday afternoons, we students would assemble in a specific place, get on the bus with our books and our suitcase, and ride for 2 hours to Kaiserslautern High School dorm. We had a teen club, which was our space to hang out and socialize. The boys' dorm was on one side of the teen club and the girls' dorm was on the other side. Each room had bunk beds and two desks with showers and restrooms down the hall. We ate our meals in the high school cafeteria. The cooks and the servers were German and worked hard to please us. We had study hall after dinner. The high school was close by and very new and modern. It was completed in 1954 and included science labs, a home ec room, a large industrial arts section, an auditorium, and a gym. I had some great teachers there. One of my favorites was Mr. Sam Martin, who taught English. On Friday afternoons, when the school day was over, the five-day dorm students boarded the bus with our books and our laundry for the return trip to Bad Kreuznach. The weekends always went by quickly. I remember spending my Saturdays washing my clothes by hand to get ready for the next week. We didn't have a washing machine at the time. All in all, my school experiences in Dodds were very good. I really liked living in Germany, so much so that 14 years later, I returned as a teacher. I taught in Idar-Oberstein for 2 years and at Rhein-Main for five. It was a wonderful experience.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing. That's fantastic.
Imagine ballroom dancing. Wow.
Mr. Panslow?
So my name is Tom Panslow. I was hired in 1984. As a school nurse. And I was informed at that time that I was the first male school nurse in the Pacific region. I ended up at Yokota East Elementary School, which is now Joan Mendel Elementary School. And I don't know if you know anything about Joan Mendel, but she was really a dynamic person. She was a third grade teacher there. So I took my family. We had two little boys. We ended up at Yokota, like I said. My one son, John, was not a year old. He celebrated his first birthday in Japan, and we lived off base. And the neighbors sort of took us in. The Japanese are very friendly people. And one of the ladies in the neighborhood who taught English at the local Japanese high school organized a birthday party for my son. So he had his first birthday party with lots of Japanese kids who couldn't speak English, and he couldn't speak Japanese, but it was a great time. So that's one story. When we moved to Germany in 1988, John was then four years old, and we were at the billet there at Wielflecken, which is in northern Bavaria, and he came up to me one day and he said, "Daddy, when are we going to go home?" And I said, "John, where is our home?" And he said, "Yokota." So that was his first consciousness of being in a place with a family, I think. So Yokota is pretty much imprinted on his mind. So that's one story about John. I was hired as a school nurse, like I said, but I also was hired as a health educator, and I served in eight different schools, and I went to all regions, the Pacific, the Med, Europe, and even Guantanamo at W.T. Sampson Schools, which is the oldest overseas Dodds school, by the way. So I was sometimes I was also given dual positions. I would sometimes be the school nurse and also the health educator. So at Torrejon High School, I was there for a couple of years just before it closed down. I was the health educator for seventh graders and also for the seniors. And I would have to get a student to sort of cover my office for me when I was in the classroom. Because when people want the nurse, they want the nurse right now, usually.
Wow.
So I had dual assignments in a lot of schools that way. After Germany, we went to Spain, Torrejon, then we went to the Azores. When Torrejon closed, most of the teachers at Torrejon High School were transferred. They got their PCS orders, which I find sort of interesting term, permanent change of station, which was never permanent. So anyway, they moved all of the teachers to lodges. So it was sort of like being in the same school with the same people, only in a different area of the world. And that was sort of interesting. The principal moved and the counselor moved and a lot of the teachers moved back in 1992 from Torrejon to the Azores. After the Azores, we went to Guantanamo Bay. We were there for a couple of years, 2.5 years. It was actually at a time when they reopened the base because they had closed it for a period of time because they had so many migrants from Haiti and also from Cuba itself. And so they had a joint task force down there to accommodate those migrants. But when the migrants were all sent to where they went, they reopened the school in 1996. And there really wasn't much going on in Guantanamo Bay. In fact, the school was small there. The fishing was great. And the beaches were great. And I learned about iguanas when I was there. But my kids wanted to go back to a bigger high school. So we managed to get another transfer back to Germany. And my kids both graduated from Hanau High School. And one in 2000 and one in 2002. And then from there, I went to Bad Aibling before it closed, which was a wonderful little base between, it was just south of Munich. So it's between Munich and Salzburg. If you were to draw a line between Munich and Salzburg, Bad Aibling was sort of in the middle there in southern Bavaria. And then at the end, we ended up in Sembach, was my last school. And we were there till 2008. In 2008, we came back to the States. But to go back to ask me what my assignments were, what my position was, I was hired as a school nurse, but I also had certification as a health teacher. So I would sometimes have a classroom assignment. And then being that I didn't have a regular classroom assignment, like in Hanau, I didn't have a regular classroom assignment there. So when both the principals were out, I was sometimes the acting principal. And an interesting episode that happened there was I actually had to expel a kid from school. It was the Friday before Christmas vacation. These kids went down to Nuremberg to the Christmas market. And this one young man, a middle schooler, did an impulsive thing. He bought a switchblade knife. Well, the switchblade knife was discovered on the bus. And then, of course, there was a no tolerance rule for any kind of weapon. So I had, you know, the teachers brought this kid into me because I was the principal. And then I had to, you know, look up the regulation. I had to contact the parents. They were not happy. And I had to expel this young man from school. And then, of course, after that, a hearing was held after the Christmas vacation about, you know, how he would be dealt with. One of the things I'm really proud of, though, in my last school, we had an after-school activity. You can't see this, but it's the Sembach Marathoners. We had an after-school program. It was basically activity, and it became the most popular club at the school, and we got parents involved, and it was sort of fun. Sembach was on a base where all of the housing was closed because it was not up to code. So there were no residents on that base. The only thing there was, I think the school was the largest activity. The USAFE band was there. And of course, there was a headquarters building, a commissary, a small club, but basically there were no people living on the base. So it was like being at a camp, and it was in a wooded area. So we had lots of trails and stuff to discover and explore. So we had the Sembach Marathoners, and kids would get a t-shirt. And the activity involved completing a marathon, but you didn't have to do it in one day. You could do it over a period of time. We kept track. They all had pedometers. They all kept track of their distances, and then they got a certificate when they completed their marathon. I could go on and on, but I better stop unless anybody has any questions.
Yeah, because you answered for the students. You still have to talk when it comes to the teacher. So there you go.
No worries. Thank you so much for sharing. That's some great stories.
That was pretty much it, but I can add a few things.
Okay.
I appreciate it. I just have a brief memory.
I have one more student story, and then I'm going to stop. Okay. My oldest son, Nick, who is not available today either because he's working, my father died in 1990, so we came back to the States from Torrejon, and we were at my my brother's residence, and my old yearbook from my middle school, a civilian middle school, was laying around, so my son picked it up. Nick was 9 years old at the time. He went through every page of that yearbook, and he said, "Dad, there's something wrong with your yearbook." And I said, "What would that be, Nick?" This just came from him. This was his assessment of my yearbook. He said, There are no black students or black people in your yearbook at all." And I said, "You know, it was a different time, Nick. And I lived in a different part of the world, and I went to a different school than you went to. And there weren't any blacks in my school." And I thought that was interesting coming from a 9-year-old.
Because the Dodge
School had a great impact on my kids as far as knowing the makeup of peoples in the world. And I thank Dodge for that.
Yeah.
Well, Thank you so much again. Yeah.
And the Dodge schools were never segregated. They started off being totally integrated. So Shannon, you were about to say something about your memory.
Yes, I just have a brief memory. I know we had a lot of great things to get to. It was from my time at Kubasaki, the best Dodea school in the Pacific, from 2016, Kubasaki High School. I was there. My first year on island was 2016, and that's whenever my Japanese 1 class, which pretty much means it's a bunch of people who don't know Japanese, got to visit a local Okinawan school. I was very concerned about this. I was a little bit worried, obviously, because I was scared I wouldn't be able to communicate with the students. I didn't know what they would think of us, the American students visiting. And I know some of my peers also had similar concerns, but once we arrived at their school, it was just the warmest embrace, honestly, just 3 to 4 stories of their concrete school building, all these smiling faces looking down and waving to us as we enter their school. And throughout the day, I got to spend some time with a small group of students, go with them throughout their class schedule, get lunch with them. And throughout the entire time, we're just having some of the most genuine social interactions. Even though we can barely speak to each other, we're kind of just kind of like motioning, showing each other things on our phones, learning about each other's cultures. And it was just, it's really unbelievable just being a part of something like that. My biggest takeaway was just how much we had in common. You know, on the surface level, you might not think we have too much in common. You have 30 American students coming off the Dodea school buses in NFL jerseys and graphic t-shirts as we enter these Okinawan students' homes, and they have their traditional uniforms on. But at the end of the day, we learned that we're all trying to keep our grades up, we're all trying to get into good schools, trying not to disappoint our parents, and do well in our sports and activities as well. So that's just one of those opportunities that you get, and that's something that's special about Dodea and special to me, and something I'll cherish forever. Absolutely.
Well, Shannon, I attended K-12 in Karlsruhe, Germany, which is the best school.
It doesn't exist, right?
Yeah.
How can it be the best?
I was a Dodge brat, you know, and my memories are helping my parents, my mom, and other teachers in the classroom. And, you know, I was brought up in a close Dodge family. So every, you know, all the teachers were my parents, and, you know, we were probably all their kids, you know, and I'm always amazed about how close the Dodds family is, and it still is. But if you had asked me if I was going to ever be a teacher, I would have said, no way. I was never going to be a teacher. And then after decades of, you know, secondhand on the job training, helping my mom and other teachers in the classroom, one day I found out that I was actually a pretty good teacher. And so I became a teacher. And so I wanted to know, how many of you, and Tom has already said, but how many of you became teachers after a Dodds experience? So Carol and me, and Tom, your son, if he had been here, would have raised his hand.
He would have raised his hand. Yeah, he had good experiences in the schools, and He ended up working at a daycare, an after-school, before-school and after-school program that the Air Force ran. Mm-hmm. And he interacted with a lot of kids, and they have ongoing continuing ed. He had ongoing continuing ed. He really got interested in education, I think, through that process too, working with kids affiliated with military members.
Yeah. So Betty, tell us a little bit about your career. Let's go to Carol, because you were inspired by a Dodds teacher, and you became a teacher. So tell us a little bit about your teaching career and who inspired you. And then we'll get to Betty.
Oh, I think I already mentioned that. With my teachers in high school, and my seventh and eighth grade teachers, Tom Gallagher and Robert Patillo, they were just very inspiring. And they showed me the way.
Yeah, sometimes we it's very clear and obvious that we're born to be teachers, and sometimes it takes a little bit of nudging. So Betty, tell us a little bit about your teaching career.
Well, for these people that are here who are not part of our Dodds New Mexico group, I want to quickly tell you that in 2019, when there was a Dodds reunion in Albuquerque, we, those of us who live in New Mexico from all over the state, who were formerly Dodds teachers, got together and we formed a little kind of social group to get together and enjoy each other's stories and so forth. And of course, then COVID came in. So we've gotten together exactly twice. So we hope that once and if things ever get back to normal, that we'll be able to meet again. But Tom and Carol and Oli and Cersei are part of that group along with me. And there are actually about 25 of us throughout the state of New Mexico.
And John Elise Bomberg is part of that group too, right?
Yeah, yeah. And Jenna lives in Minnesota half the year and comes down here half the year. So, but anyway, no, I always wanted to travel. And part of the reason that was true was because my mom was from Czechoslovakia, as were all my grandparents. And I was always intrigued by the fact that they came from Europe. And so I wanted to travel. But being quite poor and growing up on a farm in Arkansas and not seeing any hope of doing that, I thought, well, that's just kind of a pipe dream. But my sister ended up marrying a career Air Force guy. And so my brother-in-law started talking to me the day I said, I want to be a teacher, which was in the ninth grade. My brother-in-law said, you need to go overseas and you need to teach the military kids. He said, I see these teachers over there. They have a great life. They like what they're doing. And so, of course, ninth grade was a little young for me to consider that. But then he mentioned it again in 10th grade and in 11th grade until I finally had 4 years of teaching experience and I was able to actually go to Dodds. That was in 1972. And I was so excited, except one thing kept nagging at me because after I applied and Dodds mentioned Germany to me, I went to the library and checked out books and all I saw were bombed out buildings and gray skies. And I'm going, what in the world am I doing? Okay. But I did get on the plane and kept wondering, am I crazy for doing this? I don't know anybody over there. I don't speak the language. This is nuts, you know, that I am actually doing this. But I got there and got off that plane and the counselor from Mannheim High School came and picked me up. And on the way back, of course, I saw the beautiful mountains and the greenery in Germany and the gorgeous flowers and all the geraniums hanging out of the boxes on the sides of the houses and whatever. And it was just wonderful. So I made up my mind that I was going to get into the culture of Germany. So I was directed by the tourist organization in this little town called Weinheim, which is just up the road from Käfertal, which is like a suburb of Mannheim where the high school was. And they told me that these two ladies had rooms upstairs in their house that they normally only rented in the summer, but they thought that those ladies might be interested in renting rooms to me. So I did end up going and talking with them. And they spoke not a word of English. So when I say talking, take that loosely, one of the ladies had a son who spoke perfect English and still speaks pretty good English. And we still keep in touch with each other like 50 years later. And he is like the brother that I never had. So that was my first 10 years of experience in Mannheim. I taught math. I set up the library at Mannheim Middle School when that school was built. I ended up going to Heidelberg and teaching for a couple of years. And so I spent those 10 years. And then I decided that I wanted to come back to the States while my parents were, because my parents, I should say, were getting old. They were probably like going on 60 at that point, right? And so we came back and ended up settling in New Mexico. My ex-husband and my son and I settled in Albuquerque. And but I never forgot Germany. And I wanted to go back so badly. So we stayed here for 7 years, which was about 6 years too long in my mind. And then I reapplied for DAS and ended up in Sigonella, Sicily for 3 years, but I never forgot Germany. And I wanted so badly to go back. And so in 1993, I went in the middle of the school year to become the children's librarian at Hohenfels Elementary School down in Bavaria. And then all kinds of stuff happened. You know, I was doing Regensburg and Hohenfels, and Regensburg school closed, and I moved libraries and packed them up and sent them other places, and you did all kinds of stuff, opened them, closed them, packed them, moved them. And then the high school was established. And so I became K through 12. Then the high school moved down the road. So I was back to being the elementary librarian. And I just love the German lifestyle. I had German doctors and people who fixed my car and dentists and hairstylists and people at the gas station and people at the grocery store. I loved interacting with the Germans. And after 15 years of being retired, living here in Los Lunas, I still want to go back, and I would do it in a heartbeat and have the most wonderful memories of teaching for that school system. And I just want to say happy 75th anniversary to all of you who are part of that life that I loved so very, very much for 27 years.
Well, and you know, you alluded to the family, you know, the it is a small Dodds family, and you seek each other out in different venues. So Frank, I know you were communications chief and you were a teacher and you held other jobs for Dodds and now Dodia. Between my dad and you, you guys have covered public affairs for, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 years. When you think back to your first year in the school system, did you ever think you'd make it a multiple decade career? And what was your first job with Dodds and why did you stay so long?
Sure. My first assignment was in 1981 in Vilflecken. And John, I think, had mentioned that earlier as an assignment that he had been at as well. Yeah. And Vilflecken was a small army training area, a busy place, small army training area, about 13 clicks from the East German border up in the Fulda Gap. And it was an absolutely beautiful location. And I came on a leave of absence from my school district in New Hampshire, thinking I'd be there for 2 years and then return back to my teaching job. But I absolutely fell in love with I had not had the opportunity to serve in the military myself, but I ended up spending 39 years serving military families over the time. I loved the mission. You could see the impact that teachers had on military families. And so I loved that. 2 years became four. My school district back in the state said, hey, you've got to make a decision to come back or to resign. And so my wife and I took the jump and we just decided to stay. And we had a daughter in Germany. We moved to Italy for many years and then back to Germany again. And then I had the great fortune of coming here, but 39 years altogether. And it's been an absolutely wonderful adventure.
Thank you so much for sharing. We mentioned the students, we mentioned the teachers, and I think another very important part, as we all know, is the parents of Dodea families. And Mr. Brady, I know we talked previously in our previous conversation about the importance of Dodea parents. I just want to know if you could explain a little bit more about the importance of the connection between home and school.
Well, thank you, Shannon. By the way, the great, great stories that we've heard so far by students and teachers and students, the family aspect of the Dodea, and part of that family, parents, of course. And we do everything we can to make sure the parents are informed, that they are part of the school life. I know our teachers who are on the line now, as they go around the commissary and the PX, every aisle becomes a parents teacher conference. It's just absolutely incredible. But we've automated quite a bit of that. And now we have portals where a parent can see not only what assignments are due, what assignments were done, and what attendance their students are making. But I think critically, during COVID, for the last year and a half, when we had to go virtual and remote, we had students at home and teachers, which is remarkably difficult, trying to teach 20 to 24 students online. Parents had to be involved, and they rose to the challenge. And as you can see from, or as will be announced, our annual summative assessments show that we've remained steady, if not improved. And we wouldn't have done that without direct parent involvement. So that's just a practical example of how important it is. And our military and civilian parents are welcomed in schools. And I think that they have great communication with our teachers. Thank you.
So thank you. And I echo that. I know that when I was a teacher for Dodds, the parents were totally involved. You know, we had so many classroom, so much classroom help and volunteers. So Sue Pearson is a Navy brat, and she's an Air Force brat too. Her dad cross-trained. And you're an Air Force wife, Sue, and your son went to Dodds. Did you attend Dodds schools as well?
Yes, I did. I attended Randolph High School at Randolph Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas for actually 3.5 years, because part of my high school, I was in Selfridge Air Force Base in Bossier City, Louisiana. I believe, though, I was not in a Dodds system at that time. But when I left, I was in Randolph High School the last 3.5 years. And from what I remember, it was really hard for me, because when my friends left, they would leave. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you would hear from them, and sometimes you would lose contact with them. But I did enjoy the Dodds system, because I feel the education was at the higher level than the public schools at that time. Mm-hmm. And military high school was very strict.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, and so you
remember, I don't remember a whole lot because it was several years ago.
So, but when you
know, I graduated with 70 seniors only. 70 in the military school.
Wow. So thinking back to your son's education then with Dodds, because, you know, you alluded to, you know, it was a strict school, it was a good school, smaller school. What memories do you have of your son's education?
Okay, well, we arrived in Kaiserslautern, Germany. We were stationed at Simbach Air Force Base for 3 years, and then we transferred over Ramstein Air Force Base, in Germany. And my son actually attended a preschool and a Montessori school on the German economy before he was able to go to elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
Attended Vogelway Elementary School, since we lived in Vogelway housing, and he attended their first, second, and third grade. When he first arrived at the elementary school, it was difficult for him because he didn't want to leave the Montessori school, since it was a German school and he had a lot of German friends.
Mm-hmm.
So difficult, and he was learning the German language. I don't know how much he still remembers, but I know he had a favorite German teacher. I think her name was Mrs. Walsh, something like that. I can't remember her name, but I do know when he went to first grade, he didn't like it at first. He cried and wanted to come home the first few days, but then he got adjusted. He also played on the soccer team in the elementary school. They had a little German soccer team on the outside. He played with also students from Vogelway Elementary School.
Mm.
And I do know when we came back to the United States, he also attended Williams Air Force Base, Arizona, Dodds system for fourth grade. And I do remember that they were going to place him in fifth grade instead of fourth grade because he was so far ahead, when he came back to the United States.
Yeah.
And of course, I believe the Dodd system, to me, they're way above the norm than the public schools here in the United States. And when he took his test, they wanted, like I said, for him to skip school. But it was the hardest part for him coming back from Germany was he cried on the airplane on the way home. Because he didn't want to leave his friends. And what he missed the most is his soccer team. He missed the field trips going on the boats march. He also missed seeing the Neuenstein Castle, and all his German friends, because he even would go over and sleep over at his German friends' homes.
Yeah, that dual relationship with the host nation. Awesome.
Yes.
And you have
he still misses it. And I miss the German culture. I miss the German food and the German. I just miss it a lot. I would like to go back over and live there permanently.
Shannon, did your parents say anything about?
Yes, I did ask my parents, who are Dodea parents, how they felt about my Dodea education. And I also went to quite a few public schools. So they said the biggest difference was just in the Dodea teachers. They noticed that their commitment to their students was much deeper. They cared more about their success. Yes. And I just think I could not agree more. As soon as I said that, I'm like, absolutely. They became more than teachers. They were mentors. They're always available outside of the classroom for extra help. A lot of them were also coaches and were in charge of other clubs and organizations. And there's just less students. So I think it's a much closer bond. And I'm thankful for so many of my Dodea teachers.
Yeah. That's right.
So my mom and dad worked for the overseas schools from the 50s right through the late 80s. And we've done several programs on their career, so we don't need to go into my dad's careers. But I did want to ask my dad one question about how did Dodds, you know, we're celebrating the 75th now. How did Dodds celebrate its 25th and 50th? I guess, Frank, you'll answer the 50th. But Dad, what about the 25th? How did Dodds celebrate back then?
I'll address that, Cersei, but before I do, I want to react to something Sue said about her son being put in a different grade, moved up a grade, going back to the States. And the 25-year anniversary is relevant to that because it was in the mid-70s. The parents were still very concerned. A very common question, how will my child fit when we go back to America? Mm-hmm. And we decided somewhere in the mid-70s to do a survey and asked every family leaving during the school year to complete this survey and send it back to us to help us understand what happened to them when they checked into their new school district. We got back, I don't remember the exact number, but it was between 3,000 and 4,000 replies. And out of those replies, only 6 of them indicated that there had been a difference in the placement of their child in school. 2 kids had actually been set back, 2 kids had been advanced, and 2 other kids had gone into special education programs that did not have a grade level attached to it. So that was one way we found that there really weren't many serious problems of children returning back to the States. But the 25th anniversary was one of the big milestones, of course, in the dependent school history, and a rather sensitive one. I don't see many of you there who would remember President Truman's great speeches at the end of the war that we would keep our troops overseas for the duration. None of us knew what the duration was. I don't know if President Truman knew what the duration would be, but I don't think anyone, when he made that speech, thought there would be American forces in Europe still 25 years later. So we were also very sensitive to the idea that there were a number of people in Congress who thought maybe these troops should come home. We don't need them over there. And we didn't want to call too much attention to us because there was some feeling that, well, you know, our school systems in the States are poor, needy. Why do we need to support a school system overseas? But at the same time, we wanted to call attention to a rather remarkable achievement in a school system that really needed some support. So, one example, I remember having a conversation with then Congressman Gerald Ford from Michigan, who actually said to me, why should I appropriate money to your schools in Europe when my schools in Michigan are going broke? and that was a prevailing attitude. So 25 years, celebrate, 25 years, call attention to it. So we did a little of both. And we were also sensitive that we were no longer a conquering nation, we were a partner nation. And we didn't want to make it look like an emperor had taken over Germany and we're celebrating. So a lot of considerations to go into that. On a personal basis, I realized that we had no real history, no track record of what had happened to the school system. So I decided I would create one. And with my work with the press and the media and the military historical departments, I began to research how it all got started. And that resulted in a book called Silver School Bells, which kind of tells the story of the school system up to those 25 years. But what did we actually do? Well, we prevailed on the commanding general of Europe at the time. You know, the schools in Europe were under the commander-in-chief for the Army Europe. We arranged a banquet in the Heidelberg Officers Club, to which we invited a delegation from each of our 200 plus schools to include an educator, a parent, and a military member to come to Heidelberg, have a banquet, listen to a couple of high school choirs and some high school students and teachers, and listen to some great congratulatory speeches. And we had one big formal celebration in Heidelberg. Out of that banquet, we produced a little pamphlet called 25 Years that we distributed throughout the school system and recognized that we had been a school system longer than the lives of many of the soldiers on both sides who had lived. So that kind of sums up what we did for the 25th anniversary. For the 50th, well, Frank, I had retired. I was learning how to retire when we had 50th anniversary. I called a few friends and we hoisted a couple of glasses of German wine. But I can't speak to what went on in Europe or Japan or anywhere else in Dodea for the 50th. So Frank, help me out there.
And, you know, Ole, I was in the field too when we hit the 50th. So I know that you know, there were a great deal of you know, celebrations and stories that came out, the same with the 60th and the 70th. But I think nothing compared to what you guys did for the 25th and what we're going to do for the 75th. I was a teacher I had just become an assistant principal in 1986 when we celebrated the 40th. And up in the Eifel, I was at Bitburg Elementary School. And in the Eifel, we had a huge celebration and a big gala event where we had military and civilian families that came together to celebrate our history. And Ole, you were the guest speaker. You were the keynote speaker at that particular event. I think this year in the 75th, we're going to, first of all, you know, discover the past. For so many of our employees today and our families today, they don't know what happened back in 86. They weren't around for the 25th, even the 50th or the 60th or the 70th. So we're going to look back and discover some of the things that made our system what it is today. And then and when we look today at you know, what we are as a school system and the successes that we have, you can't do it without looking at the incredible people that we've had from 46 to the current day, who have brought incredible talents to bear on the system, and have and the kids have been the beneficiaries of that. So we're going to celebrate people as well, and then we're also going to look to the future, because every day that we have successes in the current organization that we have, we're really starting to build for the future. Back in 46. Nobody knew what the future was going to be. You know, as Ole had said before, nobody had an idea that we were going to stick around for as long as we did. But each year, the system has gotten stronger and better. And we've delivered on the mission. We've assisted with, contributed rather to the readiness of the force. And over those 75 years, 15 million students have passed through our doors. That's an incredible, incredible achievement. And so, that's what we'll look for the 75th. And we've launched, as a matter of fact, we launched it today. We launched a website. On Thursday of this week, we'll come out with a press release We have video, we have history. And so we invite you all to go to that site and take a look. And
are you finding any press interest in the anniversary, Frank?
Well, we haven't, we put the embargoed release out, so we haven't gotten any bites yet, but I'm hoping that we will this week, okay?
Well, it's interesting how you're thinking of the past and wanting to tell the stories of the past of Goodyear's, you know, early years. And so this is time to talk about the museum's anthology, which is Schooling with Uncle Sam, where we wanted to start collecting these stories before it was too late from some of the teachers. Since my father had written the historical accounts for the 25th and the 40th anniversaries, we thought you were probably pretty qualified to do the book for the 75th. So can you very briefly, we've got time constraints, tell our viewers about the project?
We started the idea by building it around our exhibit in the museum, where we have a schooling gallery with information panels that tell the facts of how the school system evolved, how it got established, and how it developed, along with some very interesting and often inspiring quotes from teachers who sent comments to us about their experiences. But as the concept grew about a book to commemorate the 75th, we thought, we don't want to do just facts. You know, we have the facts about the early buildings, the early classrooms, the host nation programs. We wanted to give people the opportunity to experience the life of students and teachers in Dodge. And so Circe, through her social media contacts and with Frank's help and a number of other organizations, put out the call for, tell us your stories, just like some of you have been doing today. Send us some of your memorable experiences. Tell us what it was like to buy a car in Japan, to rent an apartment in Italy, to, you know, whatever it was that gave you a special feeling about being away. What inspired you in your classes? What's it like to work for a military community? And we began to get responses. We had 58 authors send us stories. We picked up a lot of the comments we have in our exhibit at the museum and put it together in the book, which I have to say got released a few days before we were expecting it to be released. But we were going to have a big splash on October 14th, including bringing all of you to Albuquerque. And of course, the pandemic played games with that and with our planning, that sort of thing. But the book is out. Some of you have it. Some of you have stories in it. And the idea was to, this is the Dodea experience and all the predecessor school systems that came before it. We tell a little bit about what it was like to get it started. We tell about how we had to create tables of allowance to make the school system fit into the military distribution system. But that's really what was behind it, the Dodea experience. What's it like? What does it mean? Told by the people who lived it and who grew up in it. So it's available from Amazon.
Right.
And oh, somebody asked, why do you charge $19.46? Well, what year did the school system start? 1946.
There you go.
In Germany. So there you are.
So my dad wrote a lot of the history. And then, of course, Dodea's website has a huge, beautiful timeline. So we encourage all our viewers to go check out the Dodea website with timelines. And of course, the 75th anniversary web pages that'll have all sorts of cool stuff on it. So Shannon, you wrote a story in the book.
Yeah. Yes, it is available on page 283.
Oh, wow.
Still have that coffee cup?
Yes.
Eddie has a story in there too, right?
Page 209 is where mine is.
So we have a couple of stories too. I just wanted to thank all the people who submitted stories for the book and comments all the way back to the 2015 exhibit. Between us and all these websites that are coming up for the anniversary, we are really documenting an amazing history about an impressive school system. So very quickly before we wrap it up, Shannon, did you have anything else you wanted to ask?
Yes, I wanted to ask Mr. Brady if he had any predictions for the next 75 years of Dodea. It's a long way down the road, but.
Well, thank you, Shannon. I appreciate it. Have to look backwards before we look forwards. And I want to just thank everyone's for their great work in capturing. Ole did a wonderful job with the history of a great organization and all that participated today and all the great stories that are there. But 75 years from now, wouldn't it be nice if we were in a position where we had to tell the next generation that once upon a time that we put soldiers, sailors, Marines around the world to defend freedom, but now the world's at peace and we don't need to worry about that. And that would be my ideal. Unfortunately, I have to live in the real world, and that probably won't happen. But there will, as long as there are service members stationed somewhere, and their children need schools, and they need excellent schools, DoD will be there. I just opened in the last month and a half, dedicated 5 new schools in Germany, 1 new school in Guantanamo, which you're correct, it's 1931, it's the longest and oldest school. But that's $4 billion that we've had new schools around the world in the last 10 years. So the school buildings will be there. There are multi-million dollar 21st century, but those are buildings. What's happening inside are great teachers, dedicated administrators, and wonderful parents and students and partnering with military commanders. And I don't see that changing. And I think the story will continue, but only get better. And so I thank you for the opportunity to participate. And I thank everybody who's doing all this in terms of the history of a great organization. We are.
Penn State?
There we go.
What about that? I was expecting you to say something like, oh, we'll have a school on Mars.
Well,
you never know.
Wherever someone needs a school, wherever we have the armed forces, we will have a school. And it may be Mars, or it may be Poland, or it may be Singapore. Who knows where it's going to be? But when it does, we'll be there.
Well, it's very exciting.
Shannon, you're the youngest. You're going to be living long beyond all of us. You're going to have to kind of track this history and see where they end up in 75. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'll make sure that we'll have a school on Mars. I'll take care of that.
Yeah. Well, you're the engineer, so you're going to build the school.
Who knows? Yeah.
So I just wanted to, I see Shannon has to wrap it up. He's being booted up.
A little bit.
So we're going to have to wrap it up. He's in college right now. I wanted to thank all of you for joining us today to talk about your experience with DoD. I wish we had more time to sit and have a drink and do more stories, but you know, so many great stories, so many common experiences, and so many unique experiences. And I just wanted to thank everybody for coming on and sharing a few with us. Shannon is, I was going to say that, you know, we are products of DoDEA, Shannon and I, and Art and Sue, and we went on to start some of our own endeavors, of course, the museum, which is my near and dear, and Shannon has his own podcast. Very quickly, give us your name, I know you need to get out of
it. It's the best military kids podcast on the internet. Go check it out, The Shannon Show.
So a warm thanks to all of our guests today, and especially for Mr. Brady for joining us on a holiday, federal holiday. And that was an amazing, good hour. Shannon?
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you, everyone who joined today. Heard some great stories. I'm so glad to be part of this history and, you know, co-host this with all of you.
Our pleasure.
Well, I want to say the last word. Knights rule.
Oh, go Dragons. Come on.
any other teams out there? Or are the Knights and the Dragons going to rule the universe? Okay, nobody.
All right.
Yes.
We want to thank
you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy anniversary, DoDEA.